What's up, my friend?
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Are we only happy when it's Friday?
I'm only happy when it's Friday.
You're only happy after you find a picture like you did on the internet with the fly on Pence's head.
Man, you know, I took that picture myself. I didn't even get that from the internet. I took that with my camera off my TV screen.
You were ready.
I was texting it around before the fly was even off his head.
So. You were waiting for something spectacular that you were going to capture.
Oh, my God. I did not know what... I mean, I didn't know what to expect from that thing, but that was the funniest. And from the point, from the time that fly landed on his head till the end of it, I couldn't stop laughing. I was just sitting there.
I could tell you were in a good mood.
Yeah. I texted it to you and to Al and to a few different people. So,
did you get the same response? The response you were hoping for?
Pretty much. Everybody thought it was pretty funny. Al sent me back a picture with an even bigger fly. So, anyway, that was pretty fun, and that whole thing went better, much better than the original, than the presidential debate, I thought. Did you watch it at all, or
I didn't watch it, but you know, we have a lot to get into because I went and watched. I watched it after. I didn't watch it live, but I was getting updated by you in the moment as you were sending me messages. So I appreciate it. You gave me the highlights, so I knew where to go focus on when I went back and watched it.
There you go.
I mean, what was it? Because there was two adults in the room, or they were both adults, or why was it better?
It was better because there was a lot less interrupting. I mean, pretty much, I mean, I think I'm safe in saying that anytime Trump isn't on the TV screen, whatever is on there is better. So,
well, and we have a lot to update here because, you know, last week's news was that Trump got the COVID. And so we did have a friendly wager. Are you feeling a little less confident that you're going to win that wager?
I think I already won it. I mean, he was seriously ill. He was in the hospital. We know that his temperature went way up. He had low ox rate. They gave him every experimental drug under the sun. So
I thought the bet was that he was going to make a full recovery and that it was going to be nothing more than the sniffles.
Well, I mean, we've already passed that. I mean, I got video of him. I can't play it here on the podcast, but I think if you look at him out on the balcony when he came home, he was almost dead. And he was,
I thought he looked great, to be honest with you. And I watched some of those videos and he looked, because he looked less orange. Did you notice that? He looked more natural.
New makeup.
No, because he normally
new paint.
Is that stuff a bronzer or what does he put on his face?
God,
is that the tanning booth?
I don't know. You know, I don't see it as much as I used to see it when his whole face head was orange, but his eye sockets were like white.
Yeah, that was, so, that's, I think, where the goggles go from the tanning booth. I've never been in one, but I know people who have. I think that's what you do. You put the goggles on and you lay in there.
Well, listen, you know, since he hasn't, and he may yet, we're going to have to get a little bit farther out here. He may yet eat shit and go down in flames. So
you know he won't.
Yeah. But, I mean, it looks like he's going to recover, so that's good, I guess. You know, I mean, I want to try to be gracious. Like
you can't even say it with a straight face.
Let's let Joe say it. Let's see. Let's see.
Come on, man.
Can you hear that?
Yeah. He sounds a little like Curly. I like it.
Here.
Will you shut up, man? Listen.
Yeah, that's a keeper for sure.
Well, I got a whole bunch of soundboards here, so I'll try to keep it under control.
All right, we're going to have dueling soundboards today.
So you, I'm going to guess you have more of an agenda today as far as topics. So I'm going to turn it over to you.
I have no agenda other than, you know, I have to decide at what point in time I want to push your buttons because I've become pretty good at that. But I did want to explore this Trump COVID thing a little bit because it was obviously kind of breaking news last week. We've learned a lot about it since then, which is, you know, when the news became public, and when he may have actually been diagnosed. What are you showing me? Is that your ice cream treat?
It's my Starbucks. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm going to need mine this afternoon.
There's no logo on this. I don't know what the... Fuck after them.
That's because they need to pay for that, Mike. There's no free advertising on this show.
Here you go. Okay, keep going. Keep going.
What was I saying? So, when did he actually have this thing? There's speculation that he actually was COVID positive at the debates, right? Because did he take a test? I read something that maybe he took a test and it was either negative or it was positive, and he didn't say anything and he wanted to take a second positive test to confirm, but that would have really been before the debates. So did he have the COVID on the debate stage? And then when they go back and look at when, because he didn't sound sick at all. I mean, you wouldn't have thought he was typical. He looks Trump. He had that sweaty upper lip, but he always has that. I mean, on the debates he does. You remember when, I think it was when he was running in 2016 or whenever it was, and he had the weird case of the sniffles.
I do remember that.
Remember, and everyone said, what, did he take a bump or something? He was like,
Everything he said, there was this crazy inhale. Yeah.
Which we hadn't previously seen from him, so it was kind of weird.
Well, I'll tell you on the state of Trump's condition and COVID, it's a little hard to really know what's going on, because his personal physician has been a complete idiot when he talks to the press about it. And so we have had a lot of deflecting and stuff from him. So if you're asking, like, when did he get tested? When did they really? Nobody knows, because they're fucking lying about it like everything else. And his doctor, you know, I mean, the guy just outright, it started out with Conley being asked, has the president received any supplemental oxygen? He's not on.
Well, you're saying after this was public.
Yeah. When Conley and the team from Walter Reed came out of the hospital to give their very first couple of, you know, updates on the president's condition, Conley, his personal physician, you see it written right on his coat, right?
Yeah.
Doctor to the president, or dick sucker or something.
Because when you're in that position, you get a really cool jacket. Like, the only other cool jacket is when you are the president and you get on Air Force One and you get that cool bomber jacket. So when you're the doctor of the president, you also get a cool jacket.
That's a really nice.
And maybe the White House chef. I don't know what. Maybe they have a cool jacket too.
Chef to the president. Yeah, that's the blonde haired guy from Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. I think, right?
That's Guy Fieri. No, and then when you're the taster, like, you're the sacrificial lamb. I'm the taster of the chef.
I think we established that Ronald McDonald is actually the chef to the president, right?
Yeah, that's that and whoever the Arby's mascot is and Burger King.
Yeah. So anyway, long story short, the guy goes, "Hey, has the president had to receive supplemental oxygen while he was in the hospital?" And the guy says, "Yeah, he's not on supplemental oxygen today." Yeah, that's not what we asked you. Okay.
What do you read into that, though, that he was on death's door until they gave him oxygen?
Well, I mean, it has now come out that, yeah, he was lying about that. He was given supplemental oxygen, and the stupid reason the doctor gave for it was that we like to keep an upbeat, kind of an upbeat thing about the, we don't want, you know, we didn't want to be Debbie Downer, as you called me the other day.
Isn't that message consistent with Trump, where he, you know, defended his position on announcing COVID to the world, that he didn't want to be an alarmist?
He didn't want to panic everybody.
Right. So he's a good soldier. Yeah. Consistent
messaging. It's consistent bullshit is what it is. So there you go.
But I have to say, I think in this case, Trump did himself a favor by posting those videos. I think they were all maybe from Walter Reed. And then, of course, he went out in the motorcade and did the wave, because let's face it, the mainstream media had him basically dead. So for him to get out there and, you know, and in the one video, which was what, 2 or 3 days after the debates, he sounded nasally to me. He sounded like he was ill, whereas he, you know, I didn't detect anything in him the few days prior. So
how about the one he put out the day of the vice presidential debate? So that would be Tuesday, 5 minutes long, standing out in, I don't know, somewhere outside of the White House, virtually a day after he came, you know, back from Walter Reed, 5 minutes, sweating, rambling, incoherent, basically going to be the basis for invoking the 25th Amendment.
Here we go.
Right. So, I mean, I watched the whole thing. It's 5 minutes. I can never get back. It was complete fucking nonsense. Hey, they gave me the Regeneron. It's the cure. They call it a therapeutic, but I call it a cure.
What are some people doing? Call
it a therapy. The guy was fucking, I mean, here's the deal. He's on some really strong steroids, right? And dexamethasone is a really strong steroid, and it's making him crazy. And
how can you tell? How can you tell based on regular Trump and
worse than normal? Yeah, worse than normal. More incoherent than normal. So I mean, that's good. If you think he did himself good with those videos, I don't know. Maybe you're on dexamethasone, but he has not done himself. In fact, I don't think he's done himself any good at all since long before the presidential debate. I mean, it's just
There's some truth to that, but I guess what I'm saying is I don't see any noticeable difference. I mean, if this was Obama, you'd be like, who the fuck is this guy? That's, you know, because he sounds crazy, but Trump always sounds crazy. So how can you tell there's a difference?
I mean, crazier.
So what's,
you know, I saw a good thing on, I saw a good comment about Trump, you know, and I was listening to one of our previous podcasts, and I referred to him as a rapist. And I think maybe that's not the right term. So what this person was saying.
Is he a climate rapist? Is that what you were saying?
It should be raper, not rapist. It should be more like killer, murderer.
How is he a murderer?
Rapist. Not like rapist, which is like artist, florist.
That's giving it too much credit.
Yeah, it's the wrong term. So anyway, getting a little off the track there. So,
hey, this is the Couch Funeral Podcast. There is no track.
That's right. So it's been a really comical week, I think, on the DLD. So I know you don't like the polls, but you know, the winning ticket is way out in front now. Now, hey, look, at this point, 4 years ago, the one whose name we shall not mention, Hillary, you know, she was pretty far out too, but, and then it all, I mean, I think it was a couple days ago, yesterday, the day before was the 4 year anniversary of the play your favorite soundbite. Yeah. 4 years ago, that came out like 2 days ago. That was the 4 year anniversary. And then later that day, the Russians released the emails or some horseshit, nothing. And then everything kind of went in the toilet. So, hey, we're 25 days out, something like that from the election. Anything can still happen, but Biden is considerably farther out in the polls.
Let me ask you a question. And we've brought this up, but I think it's worth mentioning again, since you went down this road.
Uh-oh.
Why are you, or what is the argument, if it's not just you personally, but what is the argument as to why we should trust the polls this time? Because obviously you just described what happened last time. So why are we trusting them this time?
Yeah, I don't, you know, I think that the theory that polls are, that you can't trust polls is really not the case. I mean, I will admit that, and as we saw last time, that, you know, that the poll saying one thing at this stage of the game doesn't mean it's going to turn out that way, because things can happen, right? So,
see, I don't think the polls are.
I don't think they're flawed.
I don't think they're flawed, but I also don't think polls are designed to reflect the sentiment of the people. I think the polls that you're seeing are designed to influence people, to suggest that Trump has already lost, and maybe to prevent those who haven't voted yet from voting for him because he's already lost. But I've said this before, and I think there's a stronger case to be made, which I've attempted to make it, but if for no other reason than just my gut feeling, there was another poll and several reports in the news. I think both, you know, the crazy news and the real news covered it. But that, you know, your neighbor next door is probably more likely to vote for Trump than at least, you know, that they are afraid to say something about it. And that goes along with the whole infringement on free speech by Democrats anyway, and this whole cancel culture idea, and the fact that, you know, you can't speak up or you're going to be shamed. So whether or not it's enough to influence the outcome of the election, I don't know, and I'm not an expert, so what the hell do I know? But I firmly and strongly believe that there are certainly more people who are going to vote for Trump and perhaps already have voted for Trump than are making it publicly known. I think there's more danger, for whatever that means, there's more potential negative repercussions to impact an individual who is outspoken in favor of Trump than who's not. So there's more people who are not willing to come forward.
Yeah, I mean, like we talked about before, it's the Brady phenomenon, Bradley, right? Because he was a black man running for mayor of Los Angeles. Polls were way off because there was just a lot of people that said they were going to vote for him, then didn't. There was a lot of white people that said they were going to vote for him, and they didn't.
Have you voted, by the way? Did you get your ballot?
Just got it.
I did too.
It'll be going to my ballot drop box pretty soon. I was listening to one of our previous conversations, and you seemed to have never heard of a ballot drop box. So have you?
Yeah,
do you know what it is now?
Because previously I had always gone to the library, which happened to be the designated Dropbox place for me, and I just always disassociated the Dropbox portion of it with the fact that it was the library. So, yeah.
Was the Dropbox at the library?
It was, yeah, and that was my designated place. But, you know, I'm in favor of mail-in voting. I'm just not in favor of people who shouldn't have a ballot casting a vote.
I like the way you put it earlier as well. Please vote, just don't vote by mail fraud.
Yeah. But I got my ballot, and we're actually going to celebrate maybe this weekend or something and have some beverages and fill it out.
Okay, good. Yeah. I highly recommend getting drunk before you
have
fill out.
You have to be inebriated because, I mean, listen, you and I are filling out, you know, the California ballots. So obviously we have this national election that we spend our time on the show discussing, but we have a whole shit ton of frickin' propositions that are all bullshit that we have to go through. And then, of course, you know, county supervisor seats and all of that. And as usual, there's really no great choices. So you gotta numb yourself a little bit, I think.
Well, I mean, you know, hey, any important storm, I think I will say this about the California part of this election. I vote no on every proposition because I don't believe in the, what do they call it? The it's not proposition. I don't believe in this process.
You have a full-time legislature.
Yeah.
You've said this to me before. You have a full-time legislature in California, like everywhere. And by putting propositions on the ballot, you're asking the citizens to do the legislature's job, right? Isn't that your argument?
We're already paying those guys, right? And here's the thing.
We shouldn't be. They're a bunch of scam artists.
Well, I mean, the initiative process in California at one time was a way for grassroots, you know, legislation or legislative ideas to get on the ballot. It's not that anymore. It's like everything else has been corrupted by special interests. And so I think that you said it too last time we talked, there are so many new laws that just got signed in by the governor. There just isn't, I mean, we don't need more new laws than our full-time, highly paid legislature already provides us, right?
Yeah.
So we don't need this process.
And, you know, you sound like me right now because that's usually the position I take. But I will say, so I have my California voter guide here, in front of me. I'm going to do this for the next show, but I will go through all of our propositions. I don't even know how many there are. I don't think they're numbered sequentially, but I'm going to go through here and put no for you on every single one and just see how that stacks up, you know, see what that really means.
What you're going to do?
Yeah.
Mark on there, because I'm going to put no on everything. So let's see which ones you're going to, I'd be interested to know which ones you're going to vote for. Cause I can tell you right now, I'm voting no on every single
one. Well, that's another interesting question too, because the way they write these fucking things, it's, am I voting for this to kill it? Am I voting for it to do it? I mean, these assholes.
That's right. And even if the proposition, you know, says we're going to give all card-carrying Democrats $100, I'm still voting no on it.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So I don't think that one's on the ballot.
What about the big one? And I'm not sure what a yes or no vote.
Are we voting for the big one?
Well, I mean, there's one that's, you know, certainly been in the media a lot in California.
Which one?
The Uber thing.
Wait a minute. Is this the one we're going to kill all the dialysis patients? Because I'm definitely voting yes for that one.
Thank you.
Just so you know. No, go ahead. What?
I'm the one that says there's too many people on this planet. What? And that's the thing with fucking COVID. It really boils my blood that, and I'm gonna hit you over the head with this one too, as far as the number of deaths, and this whole just bullshit backwards thinking that suggests that Trump is responsible for killing all these people, and the Democrats could have, or Biden and Harris will prevent future deaths. Why? Haven't you ever heard of fucking Darwin?
Wow.
Come on.
So on that note, for you, Travis, personally, and our listening audience, I'm going to highly recommend that you watch a show on Prime. So I'm going to guess you have Prime because you have a wife.
Amazon Prime, so yes.
She has Prime. I'm sure she's a Prime member. So watch Utopia. And you should love it because and I'm not going to give away any of the plot.
They kill all the old people.
Awesome. Well, hey, thanks for that, but not really specifically all the old people. So. Anyway, great show that has to deal with the population. So, yeah, well, listen, if you want to cut the population, apparently, according to the advertising, if you vote yes on 23, I think you can kill off approximately 80,000 dialysis patients. So,
but you're going to vote no on that.
I am going to. Well, I'm not the one that's looking to thin the population necessary. Call the herd.
Where are you with this Uber thing? You know, the independent contractor rideshare deal.
Yeah, fuck them. No,
what?
Whatever it is, whatever it says. So, look, here's the thing. They if it walks like a duck and it talks like a duck, then it's a duck. So their employees and their employers should be held to the same, you know, requirements every other employer. You know, I get it. They don't want it, but I don't care. So
they previously were independent contractors. I think there's already, I'm not sure if it was a bill. I forget the number. Is it AB5? The legislature passed to require them to be treated as employees. And then with this groundswell movement, we now have a proposition on the ballot that could potentially overturn that. I think that's the way that is. So I'm not sure if a yes or no vote on the prop based on how the language is. But what you're saying is you're in favor of the legislature's bill to require them to be employees.
I have followed nothing on this. So I would be surprised if the existing labor laws in California didn't already make them employees, and that what's happened over the last few years is that they wanted to be independent contractors, but they were never independent contractors. They've always been employees. And I'm pretty sure that, you know, the regulatory enforcement on that just came down. If there was some kind of bill or something, an assembly bill or something that came out and clarified it, that might be the case. And if that AB, whatever it was, said they were employees, I agree with it, because guess what? They're employees.
So I think that's
I
think that's historically correct. But I think this is another example of government overreach. And I think exactly what you said is historically correct, that by the time these rideshare services came to be, by the definition of how they operated, they probably did fall under the labor laws that would require the drivers to be employees. Problem is, that business model had never been seen before. And so, you know, here they were, they, you know, developed this ride-sharing app where people use their own vehicles and come and go as they please and take piecemeal work. I don't think that Uber and Lyft launched their businesses in an attempt to skirt the labor laws. I just think it was, again, something nobody thought of and everybody wanted, which is my definition of capitalism and how this world should work. And then, of course, the fucking government got in the way and said, oh, absolutely not. This is not the way it's supposed to work. And I guess what I'm saying is, I could be wrong, but I'm sure there are Uber drivers now and Lyft drivers now who want to be treated as employees, but I don't think that is the genesis of this. I don't think that they're the ones that sounded the alarm to the legislature and said, hey, we're getting wronged here. We're getting fucked. What can you do to help us? I think, so I guess my point is, and my question is, what are we trying to fix? What's broken here? Is it just somebody saying, you don't meet the letter of the law, so we're going to fix it? What was really broken?
Well, I mean, this is an initiative, right, that we're talking about here. So this is some special interest that has borne the expenses and gone through the initiative process and has gotten this on the ballot.
And the signatures.
That's all I know because that's how it works.
And yeah. Right? I'm just asking you your opinion because aside from the fact that you vote no on all the props.
Yeah, I mean, take that out of it. As far as the issue about whether the gig economy, rather these types of jobs should be, I think they need to go to the legislature and make the case and have our state legislature create laws that speak to it. And so I think it should go that process. I don't think this initiative process is the way to deal with a question like that. So I think that the labor laws that existed before these type of jobs, became prominent enough to get something on the ballot, probably already addressed it. They don't like it. They should go to the legislature and get a legislator to carry a bill and make the case in the California legislature. And that's how I think it should be handled. So, as far as whether they shouldn't or shouldn't be employees, I'm not sure I know enough about it. I think
you probably don't give a shit. You're just saying the process.
That's part of it. I don't care because I don't plan on being a gig worker anytime soon.
You might be.
I don't plan on being a Uber driver. I mean, you're the first person on this planet that I ever heard the word Uber come out of your mouth, and that wasn't some kind of Nazi or German.
Everyone was calling it Uber at that time.
Uber. You're the earliest adopter of Uber that I know about, so you probably are a lot more qualified about it. I'm not a big fan of weakening any of the labor laws that provide protections for workers. So I'm a little, I guess off the top of my head without having put much thought into it, I'm a little wary of watering down labor laws that protect workers for the benefit of some special class or special interest like the Uber drivers, right? So, I mean, I don't know. I guess one question I would have is, we've had taxi drivers for a long time. They must obviously be operating under the labor laws that have been around for a while. And I think Uber should be operating under the same. That should be an equal playing field right there.
I'm not looking to change your opinion on this. I think the difference between taxi drivers and Uber drivers, other than the fact that when Uber came around, it was a completely different experience to the customer that was far better, which is obviously why the demand skyrocketed. But correct me if I'm wrong, I think the biggest difference is taxi drivers, number one, they're not in their own vehicle, or they're in the company provided vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe they're paid an hourly rate. I don't think that their pay is tied to the fare. I think that's company money.
Yeah.
The company sets the fare. And in a lot of cities, I think there's even taxes imposed on the fare, and maybe unions get to decide how much you charge per mile. And then the taxi driver just gets paid a wage. So yeah, with Uber,
Uber taxi rates are set by the public utilities or something, right?
Could be, yeah.
Taxi fares.
But here's the difference. If you're a taxi driver in driving the taxi company's vehicle, they tell you, you got to be here at 8, and you're driving that car till 5 p.m., period, and you get a 30-minute lunch. With the Uber guys, it's, yeah, I'm not working today. In fact, I'm only working 30 minutes today, and you get to make that choice. So I think there are some market differences between the business models, and again, I'm not looking to change your opinion. But let me circle back to this, because there's one topic that I know really gets under your skin, and that's the Supreme Court. And not to get into the Supreme Court, but I made a comment about my belief that there's another layer of the checks and balances should things go awry. And of course, the biggest criticism of a third Trump appointee is that, in this case, she could potentially overturn Roe v. Wade. And I always say, hey, listen, that's a bunch of horseshit. They're not hearing that case. There's been no discussion whatsoever that that's even on anybody's mind. But should something crazy happen where that would be the case, I always believe that the citizens would speak up and not allow it. And I've given examples of that where you have places like California who have designated themselves as sanctuary states, meaning they won't comply with federal immigration laws. You have multiple states.
Is that what that means?
Yes, that's exactly what it means.
You have, in what way?
In what way?
They won't comply with federal immigration laws.
They won't act on warrants for individuals issued by the federal government.
I think all it means, Travis, is that a sanctuary city or whatever that is that makes that statement, they're just saying, hey, we're not going to allow our law enforcement agencies to cooperate with ICE.
Well, again, we can get into that if you want, but think about that exact statement. You have a federal law that says one thing, and you have local officials declaring another. How is that allowed? Maybe in some cases it should be allowed. Another example is marijuana. And I'm in favor of all. I don't smoke marijuana, but I don't give a shit. And you have several states that
are right now.
That's
obviously
true. That is true. Me and Trump. That's why we're crazy and we have sweaty upper lips.
Hey, go on. Go ahead. Sorry. I don't want to get you in any trouble.
No, that's fine. But you see my point here. So you have, call them rogue states, call them the will of the people, whatever you want to say. You have people that have stood up and said, I don't care what the law is. It's wrong. This is what's right. And this is the will of the people. And this is what we're doing. So isn't that really what these propositions are on the ballot, like in California? This is the will of the people saying, I don't care what fucking box you want to put me in. It's wrong.
I don't think the initiative process in California represents the will of the people. It may have at one time.
I think it has to get on there, right? Don't you need so many signatures to even get on the proposition?
There's no possibility that any grassroots organization of people in California can put something on the ballot. It takes millions and millions of dollars and many, many signatures. I don't know the numbers right now. And that excludes any grassroots people's organization. That means that the only people that participate in the initiative process are large special interests. And that does not translate to me as the will of the people. So
yeah, but the people are going to vote on it. So
You know how the people vote on it?
They vote elect, no, like you on every one.
Yeah, and then they vote for the representatives in Sacramento, and those are the people that make those decisions. And that's it for me. I mean, I know you're not trying to change my opinion, but I just do not agree that the initiative proposition represents some extension of the will of the people. That's just not what it is anymore.
Well,
it's been corrupted by the Democrats.
Hey, I believe there's some truth there into how messy this is, but the fact is the people will vote on it. And the fact is that.
Vote on what? This Uber thing?
All of them, right? I mean, we have propositions all the time. The fact is that the people will decide if the law of the land is correct. And however it got there, whatever special interest put it there, however much money, you know, I guess what you're saying is this is beyond the GoFundMe neighborhood campaign. This is the special interest.
What's grassroots about it? Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. The people are going to have a say in it. And if the people see through the bullshit, like you're saying, that, hey, this is special interest and this is wrong and the legislature should be the one making these decisions, then it'll fail. If the people say, no, this is wrong, legislature got it wrong, it will pass. So that will be the will of the people.
Okay. Sorry, I just don't. You know, this is, I think if we had a part-time legislature that met every couple of years and you know, there were legislative issues or lawmaking issues that are going unattended, this would be a great way to handle it. But none of that is the case.
I think we used to here. I want to say we didn't have a full-time legislature until like 68 or something in California.
Sometime around there, yeah. But I mean, that's a hell of a long time ago.
And is that around the time that this state...
was 10 years old or something in 68 or 12 or something. I don't even know how old. I mean, I was a kid, so... For me, it's virtually been my whole life that they've had this situation, and there's never been a need in that time for for more legislation via the initiative process than we're being provided by our full-time.
So are you saying that that is around the period of time that the state went to shit?
About the time I was born. 56. So really, that's when rock and roll first started. So that's probably what killed
you fucking rock and rollers.
Yeah, that was probably the beginning of what, the decline of Western civilization.
Well, how long did you have your long hair until?
I would say till about, I mean, I think I started cutting my hair realistically in about 77. About 3 years after I got out of high school. But, you know, I hadn't gotten a haircut for 6 years. So 8 years or something. I don't know. No, 6 years, I think. I think I didn't get a haircut from the beginning of my secondary school or whatever you call it, junior high school, seventh grade till sometime after I graduated, maybe a couple of years. So about, you know, quite a ways, about 7 years probably. You know, it was long. I had a lot of split ends. So
that's what you're worried about is split ends.
Well, all the way around it didn't get me any girls. So it was kind of a waste.
That's what it always comes down to.
Of course.
Always.
Grab them by the pussy.
So I want to go back to something you started to say, and you recently told us in one of your potty breaks that you decided to read the entire Constitution. So what is this 25th Amendment thing, and what the hell is Pelosi doing now?
Well, I mean, there's a good chance that Trump is out of his mind.
Are you saying because of the experimental drugs or always?
Well, I mean, you could make the case and get me to agree with you at almost any point in the last 4 years that he's incompetent and should be removed. But specifically right
that's
now.
That's in the Federalist Papers, by the way. You know, I referenced that I kind of read that as an exercise. Mm-hmm. And they reference quite a bit the quote-unquote qualifications of the individual for the office of the president. Of course, nowhere is that defined and nor have we developed a definition since then, but you know, right. Clearly there's a thought that there you should have some qualification.
And there should be some way to remove them if something happens, because people do sometimes have a change in their mental capacity, right? And so there's a strong school of thought that he has taken. We are getting terrible information from his doctor, because of what Trump has told his doctor not to reveal any meaningful information about his medical condition. So this is, you know, once again, Rand, it doesn't make it wrong, I guess. I don't know. But for all of recent history that I am aware of, we had major information about the health of our president at every step all along the way. So Trump doesn't want his, I guess I would put it this way, Travis, if there was anything good about his health information, he'd be all over having it released.
Well, didn't they already do that? So he's the tallest president. He's the strongest president. Remember that report?
That was that lunatic doctor he had. And you know, according to that doctor, it was Trump's henchman that came in and forced him practically at gunpoint to say all that. Right?
Wait a minute. Are you saying that he's lost his mental capacity because he's on the steroids, or he?
That's a strong possibility.
He always was in questionable mental state to serve as president.
That is true as well.
Well, what is Pelosi saying? What is her? What is the bullshit she's spewing today?
I don't know.
I mean, they'll stop at nothing.
I only heard something about, In light of the lack of medical information that we've been receiving in relation to Trump's COVID diagnosis, Nancy Pelosi has had some review of the 25th Amendment and how it might be applied, should it be necessary, which is only prudent, right? She's in the succession, and for all intents and purposes, she's the head of the Democratic Party.
But the succession doesn't include her. There's a step there you're forgetting.
Well, if enough people get COVID and die of it because of
nobody's Trump, dying from COVID, we've already discovered that's a whole scam.
So anyway, if you're asking me about the 25th Amendment, you know, I think that it is being discussed right now because of the possible use of this dexamethasone, which is a really strong steroid that is known to cause mental issues.
How deep is the playbook? How deep is the playbook? How many plays down the road do they have as far as removing Trump? They had the Russia thing, and then they had the, you know, Russia/collusion, and then they had I forget, there's something else in there. What? And then they got the 25th. How deep is the playbook?
Yeah, I made it a point not to be hangry for this this.
So you ate
podcast, yeah?
Or was your Starbucks your lunch?
Well, that was a good. That was a that really put me in a good mood.
Was that your caramel macchiato?
Oh, it was mocha frappuccino. yeah, I think that you know, we've had some good discussions about this, and I know that I don't know if this is a serious thing on your part or I mean, I'm going to guess that it bothers you for some reason, and I think I can understand why. And what I'm talking about is that you've said, hey, you know, Democrats or people that are not on Trump's side of things have been trying to get him out since the day he was elected. And for me, I think that's a perfectly, considering who he is and hold on one second. Mm-hmm. Considering who he is and how bad his leadership has been and what a terrible president he's been, that's all justified. And I'm happy people have been trying to figure it out so that it can get done. The only real chance to get it done is coming up for the election.
Yeah, I agree with that. But everything else you said, aren't those really just emotional reactions? Because we know how you can get rid of a president, and that's impeachment because of high crimes and misdemeanors, right, which they tried.
Look, I'm just going to stop right there. I feel he was guilty of everything he was impeached for. And the sole reason why he wasn't convicted is that the Senate Republicans in control of that process.
But listen,
are corrupt.
Let's say I agree with you for a minute. Let's say I agree with you for a minute, which I don't. Mm-hmm. But let's say that I do for the sake of argument. Mm-hmm. At least those were actual charges that they tried to fit into the category of what was allowed to them in the Constitution. Right. They connected the dots, painted a picture why these charges fit into what they're allowed to do. And then the only other option is the 25th Amendment, right? So everything else outside of that, whether he's crazy, whether he incites riots, whether he's a climate arsonist or not a rapist, would you call him a raper?
Raper.
Is that the same spelling as rapper? What is it? Not to be confused with a rapper.
No. Rapper has two P's. And raper
is one P. Okay. Yeah. Just to clarify that. So,
not
I mean,
a floor. He's not a rapist.
he's not an artist.
Yeah, he's a raper.
So that being said, all these other things are subjective, right? Whether or not he's qualified, whether or not he's got the mental acuity, whether or not he's fit for the job.
Yeah. But here's the thing. So for anybody that feels he's not qualified, that he's mentally compromised in some way or another, for them, that's all it is a matter of opinion for them. And once you have become of that opinion, then it's perfectly legitimate for you to work toward having him removed one way or the other. Anyway,
that's wrong. You either do it, which is what you suggested through the election process.
Yeah. Well, that's the only way that anybody has done it. I will tell you that the impeachment process was legitimate, right? And in the soul, and you just said it wasn't
legitimate.
No. The impeachment was totally legitimate.
I mean, the charge.
And let's get this straight. Well, no, let's get this straight. He was impeached.
All right. He was impeached, but what was the official?
And so why wasn't he convicted at the trial?
Because he was innocent. That's what I was going to ask you. What's the declaration? He was innocent. He was not guilty. What's the ruling?
Well, I mean, so I'm asking you.
Yeah, I know what the answer you're looking for is that because the Senate Republicans refused to try him.
Well, I mean, do you feel that? I mean, let me get the correct civil, the correct word for this. There was a fucking assload of evidence against him. The Democratic impeachment managers more than made the case. And if the Republican senators that were serving in the capacity as the jury came anywhere close to doing their constitutional duty that they took an oath to do, they would have convicted him. It's just one more thing done by this Republican Senate to shows that they have no integrity and don't give a shit.
So where do we go from here? If the Senate flips, can they retry him for the same thing?
There are so many things, Travis. That was specific.
That was over the quid pro quo, phone call thing.
Yeah, that alone was enough to that one situation. Forget everything else. Forget all the Russia stuff. Forget it all. That one situation with the way that Trump dealt with the Ukraine and what he tried to do to Joe Biden by improperly influencing the brand new elected, well, I'll call him president. I'm not sure but I think he's the president of the Ukraine.
Right.
Of Ukraine. Okay.
You can say the Ukraine.
It's not correct. I want
to
say
the day we start to make sure everything's correct on this show, we're fucked.
Okay. So the Ukraine. So anyway, that loan incident from that phone call and all the other evidence that was presented about Rudy Giuliani and the ambassador from the other guy that got involved. And, it's been a while now, so I've lost all the details.
Yeah.
There's a ton of stuff. He was guilty.
Can I ask you a question, though? You ever watch these crime shows, Dateline or all these murder shows? I love watching that shit.
I used to watch a lot of procedurals.
Yeah, and when they are building the case and they know that, that somebody's guilty or they have the evidence or whatever, but they just don't have all the pieces to set the narrative in motion to, for lack of a better term, convince the jury. Didn't it hurt the case that the Ukraine guy basically said, "Hey, I didn't take it that way. He wasn't asking me for that." Didn't that kind of take the wind out of their sails?
No, because what I can remember about that specific,
and I don't remember the details either, but
yeah, that was something he was coerced into saying.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, I mean, there was quid pro quo here, and that's, I mean, all of this, look, and really, it's so ironic because they were accusing Joe Biden and his son of doing something that was corrupt, and they have zero evidence for that allegation, and then they use that completely fabricated allegation to pressure the newly elected president of the Ukraine to
sounds better, doesn't it?
Well, it always is the way it sounded, right? But until we started talking about the Ukraine or Ukraine, we know, nobody realized it was wrong. So,
when you're talking about, the word myriad, like there's a, yeah. Do you say there's a myriad of choices or there's myriad choices?
Yeah. That's a good one. And I don't know what's correct.
What's correct is the way it sounds, right?
Yeah, that's right. And so I think that, I think, look, for all intents and purposes, that episode is over. He was impeached. That he'll always be a president that was impeached, one of two. And whether he got convicted or not is a different issue.
Yeah. Well, I worry about it because, and that's why I asked you how deep the playbook is, because I wonder if they've got the next two or three teed up, because they got four more years to try to figure it out, in my opinion.
Not going to get reelected, so that's rock. So I don't know what's teed up.
You want to, speaking of teed up, you want to get into the VP debates?
Well, I mean, sure. You must have something ready. I can only say that I thought Pence, was terrible. But, Donald Trump thinks Kamala was the worst ever. So, I guess it's a matter of perspective. But
here's, I think, what we can agree on.
I thought she kicked his ass. I thought she owned him the whole way. But
I certainly disagree with that she owned him the whole way. There might be a couple of points here and there, but let's go back.
Only when he spoke. Okay, yeah, you're right. Only when Pence said something was he owned by Kamala.
Well, number one.
When he was just fucking with a fly on his head, he was doing okay. The fly was doing the work.
Did you use my, I thought, you know, I thought you were going to come up with the fly on shit. Yeah.
So much of that. Yeah. I mean, I saw a million memes on social media about it. So yeah, there was a lot of that.
But the big issue with Trump, and I was on record of saying this afterward, is obviously he came out swinging. He was a bully. It was in bad taste, and it also made for a bad experience for the people watching it. It just was mm-hmm. painful to watch. And then, mm-hmm. you know, when you go down a layer and when you dig deeper, I think the more important thing out of that first debate was, and I said this, Biden did his job. He did the things I think he needed to do to look presidential, to at least, I totally disagree with his entire platform, and he didn't do a lot of that. But nonetheless, he did his best to sell it, and he didn't, you know, falter in the ways that at least I thought he was going to do. So then yeah. you fast forward to the vice presidential debate. It certainly looked to me like there was at least two adults in the room, which made it a lot easier to watch. Mm-hmm. And once you get past the illusion of the plexiglass and the fake virus and all that bullshit. But other than that, you want a little sampling?
Yeah, go ahead.
The American people have witnessed what is the greatest failure of any presidential administration in the history of our country. And our plan is about what we need to do around a national strategy for contact tracing, for testing, for administration of the vaccine, and making sure that it will be free for all.
And quite frankly, when I look at their plan that talks about advancing testing, creating new PPE, developing a vaccine, it looks a little bit like plagiarism, which is something Joe Biden knows a little bit about.
That was a good zinger.
Yeah, well, I mean, what do you do? What do you, is there a question there for me? Or I mean, it was a zinger.
Why does she sound? She sounds nervous to me. Oh, is that how she talks all the time?
I think so. I don't know. I haven't heard her talk that much, to be honest with you. I think that it was. I mean, I just. I don't know. I mean, were you watching it? You weren't watching it, right?
I didn't watch it live. I didn't watch it live.
Yeah. So you haven't. So you've seen some clips and stuff.
No, I went back and watched it.
Oh, did you?
I just didn't watch it live.
Oh, okay. So you saw the whole thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how much of this is affected by, you know, the perspective you come from when watching it. I don't see anything, you know. So with Pence, unlike Trump, he's a pretty experienced, you know, politician, right? And, you know, I mean, get past the fact that he's a hypocritical piece of shit, lying bastard. Okay, you got all that going on for him. I mean, you know, I don't understand why anybody gives a shit one way or the other about Pence. Kamala, on the other hand, she might be your new president.
Well, what does that even mean? How could you not care about him? He's the current guy who could be our next president, like next week, right? So you got to care about him.
Well, I mean, God damn it. If Trump dies right now and Pence becomes president, it'll still only be.
If you die from choking on that macchiato.
I know. I got some, I got some COVID in my throat. If Pence fulfills his vice presidential destiny and becomes the president, he'll only be the president until January 20th. So I don't really care
until he's sworn in again.
I hate, you know, look, for me, I dislike Pence as much as I dislike Trump, but for different reasons. It's not, you know, I think that Pence is corrupt. I think he's a.
Uh-oh, we lost you.
Did you lose me?
Yeah, you're good.
Okay, am I back?
You're back.
Let me say it then. Let me repeat it.
He's corrupt. He's a douchebag. We get it.
He's a liar, right? The thing, you know, the biggest danger that Democrats. Biggest danger the Democrats saw in this vice presidential thing with Pence was that. He is a much better liar than Trump. He'll look right at the camera with a straight face, lie right to you, and be cool as a cucumber.
I would not want to play poker with that dude.
Yeah, and so.
But what about the other lies?
No, I know where you're going. What lies are these?
Well, how about that first taste, which is this is just an outright, complete, irrational bullshit fallacy and a lie. That Trump is responsible and the Trump administration is responsible for COVID deaths and that a Biden-Harris administration would have done better. This is fucking ridiculous.
You want me to actually, after is this number 9 already? So after all of these podcasts and all the times that I've expressed what I feel about the Trump administration handling of this situation, you want me to reiterate it? I mean, really?
Listen.
I agree 100% that they failed at this, and so I think we've already established that you and I might not agree about that. I mean, if you
here's the thing: they're making it an issue. Biden and Harris are making it an issue for their election campaign. They're basically saying that. I don't think so. I think this is a big mistake on their part because nobody agrees with them. Everybody sees through the bullshit that almost nobody dies from this except for crotchety old people who need to die anyway. And
that is not true.
And that there's nothing they can do to wave their magic wand to save people. They're not going to go in there in the fucking garage and make the vaccines. They're not going to, you know, they're not going to do anything. They're not going to physically do anything or legislate us to death with new things unless they force us to stay in our homes, and people aren't going to put up with that bullshit.
None of that changes the fact that the manner in which the Trump administration handled the COVID-19 pandemic has had terrible, terrible results. And the numbers, nobody needs me to defend it. The numbers say it. The 7 million people that have contracted COVID, the 215 or something, whatever it is today, 215,000 dead people. The next 20,000-30,000 people that are going to die, the 900 people that died yesterday, the 900 people that died the day before, this, all of it, all those numbers, they're all on.
Because what? Because Trump
you can deny it all you want.
It's not denying it. How did those people die? Because they have free will and they live their lives. What's Biden and Harris going to do? They're going to send their helicopters into neighborhoods and lock people in their houses? What can they physically do? Nothing.
You want me to explain it? Because I will. I mean, I'm looking at the time. So.
They're explaining it, too. Here, they go on for more.
Would you like to respond? Absolutely. Whatever the vice president is claiming the administration has done, clearly it hasn't worked.
There you
go. When you're looking at over 210,000 dead bodies in our country, American lives that have been lost, families that are grieving that loss.
Hey, how do you look in the camera as Mike Pence or anybody and defend this administration with those kind of numbers staring you in the face?
Here's how you do it. You say, folks, unbelievable. Here's how you do it. You say, folks, there's a fucking virus going on outside. If you don't want to catch it, don't go outside. The fact that they confiscated people's businesses and forced people to stay in their homes. Think about it. Here's what you're really saying. And here's what Biden and Harris are saying. And what's implied if it's not in their words. The only thing they can do differently and quote-unquote better to save these people and to prevent 200,000 deaths and another 200,000 is what? How do you do it? What do we know is the one way to prevent catching this virus? Masks aren't 100% guaranteed, although for the record, I wear my mask. But what's the only one guaranteed way that people don't get this virus? You live in a bubble. No bullshit, you live in a bubble. Or in this case, in your homes or underground, in a basement, you don't go out and you don't breathe common airspace.
If you really want to talk about this right now.
They're talking about it.
We need another 35, 40 minutes. Otherwise, I'm going to just say, hey, let's bring it back up and, you know, another time.
Here he goes on.
Dr. Anthony Fauci and other experts say that most of the people who can be vaccinated need to be vaccinated. But half of Americans now say they wouldn't take a vaccine if it was released now. If the Trump administration approves a vaccine before or after the election, should Americans take it and would you take it?
If the public health professionals, if Dr. Fauci, if the doctors tell us that we should take it, I'll be the first in line to take it. Absolutely. But if Donald Trump tells us that we should take it, I'm not taking it.
Yeah, I agree.
The fact that you continue to undermine public confidence in a vaccine, if the vaccine emerges during the...
He's almost done.
No, because...
Do you know what he says?
Yeah, I know what he says. And it's bullshit. It's a lie. And he's a liar, okay? And here's why that's not correct. Donald Trump and this administration have put out so much wrong information. They have so abdicated their responsibility to not promote misinformation that yeah, you know, the one of the possible effects is that if by some miracle we had a vaccination available before the end of the year, many, many people in this country would not take it if it was available, which it won't be.
So yeah, we'll have it, but it won't be mass produced.
Yeah. And so, but let's say some magically it was available. Yeah. I don't think I would take it until I was 100%. I wouldn't take it on Donald Trump's word. No fucking way. Nobody in their right mind should do anything that Donald Trump tells them to do at this point, because he has lost the moral authority to give any kind of recommendations regarding this, because he has so politicized this and made people confused and afraid. So yeah, I was going to try to get through this without getting my button pushed, but you're pushing it with this because,
but you're mixing the two. Listen, if Trump comes out and says there's a vaccine available, right? It's safe. Go ahead and take it. If he says that, again, what does that really mean? Trump didn't make it in his basement.
Doesn't mean shit. Doesn't mean anything for him.
If he says that, isn't he saying that there actually is a vaccine that was produced by the pharmaceutical companies?
Well, I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to say the same thing that Kamala said. When I hear it from Dr. Fauci.
Right.
Or the guy that's running Operation Warp Speed. I can't think of his name. Or anybody with a legitimate credential to make that statement, then I would consider it. But if it's solely Donald Trump saying, hey, the vaccine's out, take it. No, you would be an idiot to take it at that point.
They're one in the same. You're just, you know, bitching at the messenger.
What's one in the same?
I'm saying you're just bitching at the messenger at that point. Basically, if Trump comes out and says that there's a vaccine, let me go back to this.
Well, this is the reason why.
Hang on. This is why the moderator asked the question, because this is what the right is saying, which is incorrect. Okay. But here's what the right is saying. They're saying that if there's a valid, legitimate vaccine, Democrats won't take it because it was developed under the Trump administration.
No, that's not. Hang on. That's not what anybody has said.
Yes,
that's
that is what they're saying. Listen,
it is not.
Take another sip of your macchiato.
Play the question.
I'm telling you, this is why she asked her the question.
Let's hear the moderator's question again.
This is why she asked her the question, so that she could refute that in a similar way that they asked Donald Trump to categorically put a stop to supporting white supremacists, right? And he failed, right? They asked him the question and he failed. So they asked her this question to put that to rest. And she handled herself well. She said, hey, listen, if the medical experts say there's a vaccine, we're going to take it. Here's what she didn't say, Mike. She didn't say, I refuse to take any vaccine that's developed while Trump is in office or during the Trump presidency.
Nobody said that.
Yes, they are saying that. They're saying that the crazies on the right, the ones that you hate.
Okay, wait. I understand that the crazies on the right are saying that Democrats are saying that, but like almost everything that comes out of their mouth at this point, it's a lie. Nobody's saying that. People are saying that the left is saying, hey, on the sole recommendation of Donald Trump, I'm not taking shit.
That's not anything that could even happen. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. It's not as if Trump can say tomorrow, take this vaccine that doesn't exist, right? Let's say he says, take a vaccine.
Did you not see? You were talking about how you thought his recent spate of videos has been a good thing for him. Did you not hear the one I referred to that was over 5 minutes long, where he was talking about how Regeneron is some kind of fucking cure?
So are you saying he's going to push that as a vaccine?
Well, he's already saying that, hey, on my watch, we have developed Regeneron.
And that's the one they're going to market for the vaccine?
Well, not as a vaccine, but as an alternative to a vaccine. He said, hey, in that video, I'm going to quote here because I don't have it. You know, I don't have the transcript in front of me, but basically he was saying, hey, we don't really need to wait for a vaccine, because I'm going to make sure that everybody has access to this Regeneron, anti-cronyism. I'm going to make sure everybody gets it, right? Can have it. And then that's it, because I took it and I feel better than I did 20 years ago. He is a fucking lunatic. and everything he says is dangerous. Listen,
I know where you're coming from, but that's not the same thing. That's not the same thing. If there actually is a legitimate vaccine, that again, when we said that you get a really cool jacket, right? If you're the chef, if you're the pharmacist of the president, do you, you know, your lab coat, the fucking president's lab coat pharmacist is not going to whip up the vaccine while he's making deviled eggs on the side and say, here you go. This is going to be legitimate shit done by third parties.
Isn't there going to be a Trump vaccine? Is like Trump steaks?
Yeah, I think so.
Trump water.
And nobody Trump will take vaccine. It because it'll say Trump vaccine. You don't want to have his name. Here's the thing. Does he get the royalties on that?
Yeah. I don't think anybody on the left is saying that. Hey, the only thing I've ever heard anybody say, and I'm frankly watching a lot of this, so if I've missed it, I would love to have you point it out to me. But
I'll send you my favorite articles. You know I love doing that.
What
was the last one I sent you? Saturday morning reading.
I need to reread that because it was so long. That was so close after the last.
I know it was a long one.
Podcast. Well, yeah, but I need to reread it now. But listen, this thing about the vaccine is kind of important. Not that anything we're saying here has any effect on anybody, but you know, Kamala just said, hey, she would not take a vaccine that she feels is prematurely released to the public because of undue pressure from this administration on the FDA to release something. And, you know, we're going to have to depend on the FDA and the CDC to be what they've always been, have the integrity they've always had, and push back against this political pressure.
Well, and that's the point. There's a lot of concern that the FDA could not be neutral because they would get pressure from the Trump administration. So that what you said is the most important point, which is, can you trust their word? And my whole point to making that statement was that there have been many who have suggested that, no, we can't trust anything coming out of an agency like the FDA because it will be Trump pressuring them to release something that's not ready.
Well, look, there is no information available anywhere that indicates that any legitimate vaccine
will
have had the time to go through the testing.
Didn't you get your Russian vaccine in the mail?
Huh?
Didn't you get your Russian vaccine in the mail?
I mean, you know, the Russian vaccine, whatever the hell that is a good example of how that could go down, right? I mean, I guarantee you that if there is, I mean, I don't know if there's a Russian vaccine. I remember hearing about that, but that's how it works in that kind of a country. And that's what Trump would like to have it done. He would like to have something out before the election. But
I think Trump would like to have something out before the election because of the perception that, okay, we can all take this and be safe and live our lives. My personal opinion is he's motivated by the economy. He thinks that if we can market a vaccine that will allow everything to reopen and go back to work, that's what he cares about. I personally don't think there's anything more to it than that. But there are places, even in this country, I think it was Virginia that I read, that would possibly require their citizens to be vaccinated. That's a whole other issue. You know, so whether or not it's available, it's a valid, tested vaccine, all that shit, and whether or not people would take it, and whether or not they would be required to take it.
Do ask me how much I care what Virginia requires anybody to do.
Hey, listen.
Or any other backwater southern.
We're not far off, my friend.
Look
how much time we spend talking about this godforsaken state and the things that we're forced to deal with. We're not far off.
As bad as it gets, it'll never be Virginia or Alabama or Georgia or South Carolina.
Can you handle
to some of our associates there?
Yes, of course. Although they have great barbecue in the South.
Well, I think anybody, even a Democrat that would dispute that, should be impeached. So
I agree. Marking it 108, we agree on barbecue.
I think, you know, the truth of it is we agree on a lot more. You make it hard to see that though sometimes because you really do. You really are good at this. So I think you did spark up a spirited debate about the vaccines.
Well, and I'm very, very passionate about the whole COVID thing. And listen, they spent some time on it, you know, and I think more so than Trump and Biden did in their debate. But goddamn, I mean, it is just the fuckery of our time. It really is.
Yeah. And I totally understand why you feel that way, and don't, you know, I think probably I come closer to agreeing with you on that day by day. So, you know, I don't think, again, you know, the fact that COVID is part of a political discussion is unfortunate at all.
That's a fact. It became political from day one. I mean, that's what it is.
I mean, and here's the thing. I don't think we're ever going to agree on this. I blame the Trump administration for having abdicated their responsibility to guide this nation through the worst medical, the worst health crisis we've had in 100 years.
In 100 years. Thank you.
You don't have to agree with me. That's okay. And so I'm not sure, you know, but I mean, whenever you want to talk about it, I'll talk about it. But I think there are more important, I mean, we're going to be on the other side of it sooner than it seems like now. And all of these other political things are going to continue to be there. And hey, in a couple of months, Travis, we're going to be talking about how the Democrats are fucking up the White House and stuff. I guarantee you that. So,
you know. Well,
and then your real fears. I mean, I'm amazed that you seem nonplussed or unaffected by the potential disastrous outcomes and effects.
Well, listen, here's
of this administration for another 4 years.
It's because of my
worried you are about things that haven't even come to pass, and most likely won't, because most things in politics are steered toward the middle. So I don't think you're going to see, you know, much of whatever you fear is the far left's agenda coming true.
I hope not. But let's face it. Certainly, we're living that nightmare in California. We really are. And those are the kinds of things that I worry about on a national level, because my core belief is limited government. I think government needs to get the fuck out of the way.
Whose fault do you think it is that there's no balance?
What do you mean?
Is it in California? Yeah, in California or you know, possibly. I mean, here's the thing I'm a little bit worried about, and I'm not worried about it enough to say, hey, let's leave Trump in for another 4 years and roll that dice. I'm afraid that because the Republicans as the other real political party in this country, they have fucked their job up so bad that I'm afraid that the federal government may go the way of our California government. This is not a good situation in California. We talked about this before, and I agree, or it's my opinion anyway, that this one-sided Democratic rule in California is bad for California, because there's no check here.
How about this for an idea? What about, I'm waving my magic wand here, what about every other election cycle, a Republican or a Democrat cannot be eligible for office? So from the presidential, I'm just off the top of my head. If this was that year, let's say it was the Republicans' turn because they won the last one. They're not allowed to run. So the Democrats can run, and then another party. And then on the next cycle, a Democrat can't run and the Republicans can, and then another party. What do you think?
You wouldn't need a magic wand for that.
Hey, that would break the cycle of what you're saying.
That would. I think my preferred mystical imagination of how, you know, it might run better is that the Democrats stay in power until I'm dead. And then during that time, the Republicans don't fuck it up so bad that they have no actual influence.
But the Democrats,
because that's where they're heading.
The Democrats are going to dictate how you die, where you get to live, what you get to be fed through your IV, because they want to control every aspect of your life. That's the reality. That's the bullshit.
Oh, dude.
I got more. I pulled some Supreme Court stuff from the debate. I don't know if you can handle it.
I can handle it. Let's just agree to make this one a little bit longer. You know, we got to be at a little over an hour, right?
So what difference does it make?
No, nothing really.
Abraham Lincoln was up for re-election. And it was 27 days before the election. And a seat became open on the United States Supreme Court. Abraham Lincoln's party was in charge not only of the White House, but the Senate. But Honest Abe said, it's not the right thing to do. The American people deserve to make the decision about who will be the next president of the United States, and then that person can select who will serve for a lifetime on the highest court of our land.
Honest Abe, do you see the look on her face? She was like a school teacher at that point when she looked him in the eyes. Honest Abe, Mr. Pence.
Yep. Well,
I think there was some fact checking that maybe wasn't a totally correct statement. I'll send you the link.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, let's see here.
I think at one point. Oh, go ahead.
Well, listen, we've talked about this.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to remain a calm as I
brought it up, not to irritate you. We've already stated our points on this. I brought it up because they did cover it.
Yeah.
But I think is important that she said at the end there is obviously this is the lifetime appointment. And, you know, that's probably the most dangerous part of the whole thing.
I think that's a topic that is worthy of further debate. You know, whether that's a good idea or not. I mean, we've talked about that a little bit. I will tell you that in regards to this particular nomination, I did a little research on what's been going on with this here. So here is Senator Mitch. I'm not playing you a soundbite today, but I am going to read something that I made a note of. So McConnell says that this year, so you know what's been making me crazy, so upset in the last couple of podcasts about this issue is the Lindsey Graham and Mitch McConnell outright lying 4 years ago about why they were not going to give Obama's candidate even a hearing. Mm-hmm. And the reasons that they stated for that. And
yeah, it was complete hypocrisy.
Yeah. And so that makes me, you know, a little insane. So supposedly McConnell's reason for justifying what's going on now is that he says this year is different because Republicans control both the White House and the Senate.
Yeah, I brought that up.
Yeah, so that sounded familiar to me. So instead of me going nuts, why don't you, if you don't mind, try to help me understand why on earth that would have that statement would have any validity.
I tried to explain my understanding of what their argument was. I don't agree with it.
Oh, okay.
I don't agree with it. I think
do you understand the reasons that they would put that out there as the reason? I mean,
yeah, here's the reason. It's because that's what they want to do now. That's the reason. That's the bottom line, right? You do they're not fighting fair. That's the bottom line. I mean,
well, I can just,
that's
I can
the most, just, listen, I'm no competitive fighter, but when you fight, you, all you want is for a fair match, right?
As a good friend of ours is now fond of quoting, just fly the plane.
Fly the plane. Exactly. So, you know, listen,
That makes me feel better that you don't agree with that. Thanks for pointing it out to me in the heat of our previous discussion and making me go fucking insane.
Hey, go back and listen to the tape. I did say that I don't agree with it. Okay. I said that they should have allowed for...
But after you say it and blow my head up, it's too late.
Yeah, because you get so fucking crazy, I can't talk you down. It's like you got to count... You're the cartoon character. You turn red, you got to count backwards from 10.
Wow.
They did ask about stacking the court here.
Your party is actually openly advocating adding seats to the Supreme Court, which has had 9 seats for 150 years, if you don't get your way. This is a classic case of if you can't win by the rules, you're going to change the rules.
So, listen, that was a talking point in the news that he was trying to get her to say whether or not she supports that idea. That was all that was about.
Right, right.
So,
And here's what I'm going to tell you about packing the court. And you know, because I can almost, I mean, hearing him say that brings back all the flood of memories. He treats this issue about 9 members on the Supreme Court as if it's some kind of scripture out of the Bible or something, right? And it's not.
You're right.
I mean, go back 150 years, and it was 5 justices. Mm-hmm. And so
it's been the as truth high as, it, what, 13 or 14?
Yeah, it can be whatever we decide it's going to be.
That's true.
And so, you know, and if I had my druthers, Kamala and Biden both would just say, yeah, motherfucker, if you pull this stunt with what's her name? Comey?
Betty? I just call her Judge Barrett.
Judge Barrett. Easy if you pull this stunt with Judge Barrett and completely go back on everything you said 4 years ago, yeah, when we win this election, we are going to put 15 justices on the court and make your puny little conservative majority look like nothing. Yeah, well, I think
you know. Listen, I think that would be a terrible idea. I don't know. I don't have the correct number of justices that I think should be on the court. Somebody who's of maybe a legal mind could explain that one to me. But maybe it is 15. Yeah, that's true. But but I don't know what the right number is. Maybe it is 15. Right. But to do it in this manner would be wrong. There's all of these examples are wrong. It was wrong not to give Merrick Garland a hearing. It's wrong to suggest that Trump should wait now. It's wrong to suggest that the retaliation should be stacking the court. If we need to have 15 justices because that's the number, let's explore that. If we should decide that the real fear in having Trump or either side appointing so many justices is that they serve for a lifetime, so therefore it completely changes a generation of lawmaking in this country. If that's the fear, then let's just make it so they don't serve for a lifetime. I mean, I don't know.
Well, I think that the way that she did answer that, and she didn't answer it, but what she did say following that question from him, which, by the way, you know, he wasn't the fucking moderator, so the fact that Kamala didn't answer questions from that dickwad when he put them to her is a good thing, you know.
Well, there was a lot of that. There was a lot of non-answering.
It's only her decorum that kept her from just giving him the finger and telling him to go fuck himself.
But I like it when – I certainly don't like what we saw with Trump and the bullying, but I like it when – and that's what a debate is supposed to be. You're supposed to – again, I look at it from a competition point of view. I'm better than you. I'm smarter than you. My policies are better, and I'm going to prove it by outwitting you on this stage in front of all these people. It's like the Princess Bride movie. We're going to have a battle of wits.
Yeah, I remember that. That's a clip we should try to find. It might be on my soundboard. Okay, so
well, speaking of, I have a couple more, but here's one. I think this was towards the end about accepting the election results, and here's another one that nobody answered at all.
Let's see.
If your ticket wins and President Trump refuses to accept a peaceful transfer of power.
And I think somebody was sneezing in the background that was on the debate. That? I don't know. It's like somebody had the COVID in the audience.
Yeah. Power. What steps would you and Vice President Biden then take? What would happen?
So I'll tell you, Joe and I are, I think, particularly proud of the coalition that we've built around our campaign. We probably have one of the broadest coalitions of folks that you...
Do you hear the sneezing again?
...you've ever seen in a presidential race. Of course, we have the support of Democrats, but also independents and Republicans. In fact, seven members of President George W. Bush's cabinet are supporting our ticket. We have the support of Colin Powell, Cindy McCain, John Kasich, over 500 generals, retired generals, and former national security experts and advisors are supporting our campaign. And I believe they are doing.
Nobody knows what she's saying. That's the problem. What she's.
I mean, I'll give you that one. That's not. I'm not even sure what the question was.
The question was what
would you and Uncle Joe do if Trump refuses to leave the White House?
Yes.
Isn't the answer get a Marine and shoot him in the head and drag his fucking ass out of there?
Well, you would think that would be a lot shorter than what she's mumbling about. Right. She's rambling on about the fact that she doesn't say, but what she's suggesting is that they are the chosen ones because they have so many supporters, and they have the supporters of the right, of the people who have defected over to the left, and you know, generals and this and that. So we don't need to worry about it. That's basically what she was saying.
Their supporters are not toothless white supremacists.
No, she's saying that former toothless white supremacists are now supporting them. And therefore they don't have to worry about it.
Oh my God, do I have to put my Proud Boy background back
up? Where did it go? So I don't know. I mean, listen, we can.
Well, the other non-answer was when they both gave a non-answer to this. What have you had a discussion with the Prez? What's going to happen when either one of those old geezers pops off? And neither one of them would answer that. Did you, you got that?
Yeah, no, I didn't queue it up, but I almost pulled that one. Again, because what are they trying to do? Show a position of strength that they don't have to worry about that.
I mean, you know, I think personally, that's a stupid question from the moderator. So I'm always pretty consistently disappointed with the questions from the moderators, whether they're, you know, and I'll never figure out Chris Wallace, whether he's a closet Trump, you know, manipulating supporter or, you know, some kind of Democratic spy. And this gal, I don't know her from Adam. So, you know, yeah. Whatever.
Well, isn't, you know, Chris Wallace is, I think the shake on him is that he's the only neutral voice on Fox News. So therefore we'll give Fox a shake at it. And then this girl, this lady, she was, what is she? She's like authored a book or something of Pelosi. What is her connection there?
Oh God, I can't even remember.
But you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Well, let me pose a question. Do you still want more debates?
Well, you, I mean, there's two more
next week's off. So
yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, there's two more scheduled. I read something about the debate commission is going to make it virtual, and Trump said no
next week.
Yeah. So
the all one.
Right. So there's probably zero chance it would happen anyway. I don't know. Good. I mean, here's what I said from the beginning. There needed to be, they needed to have the debate, whether it's one or three. They needed to do it for all of the reasons that I said should happen for Biden. And, you know, I don't want a Biden-Harris White House. I think that's bad for this country. Not that Trump is good, but we have two bad choices. I felt that there's weakness there. And at least from the debate performance, Biden proved me wrong. I mean, he looked and sounded presidential. I don't agree with any of his politics.
Do you think Biden proved you wrong, or Trump fucked it up so that
no.
Biden couldn't prove you right?
Nothing surprised me there. I didn't. I mean, Trump was over the top, but I'm just used to it now. He didn't surprise me. So
but
no,
don't you think that if he had shut his fucking mouth a little bit more, Biden would have had a chance to stick his foot in his, like you were hoping?
No, I think.
I just think Trump has lost it. You know, whatever ability he had to read things 4 years ago and make very agile, you know, adjustments and have things turn out the way nobody would think they would turn out. I think that's eluding him this year for a whole variety of reasons. And not the least of which at this point is his sickness. And he's just making huge mistakes. I mean, he has completely given up. You're a good negotiator and you understand deal making and stuff. How does it help him to get on Twitter at 2 a.m. when he's supposed to be recovering from COVID and tweet her out that he doesn't want any kind of deal? Fuck it. That's it. The talks for a rescue deal. Yeah, they're done. And then a few hours later, oh, no. I do want him. And back and forth. I mean, he just looks like a fucking idiot to everybody.
Well, again, I mean, you asked a lot of questions there. I think if there's one.
Don't you think he's given the upper hand to Pelosi in this particular area about the rescue deal or whatever work of the, you know?
No, I think I don't know that this is a reflection on the Biden campaign, but no, I think this completely backfires on the Democrats, to be honest with you.
Him doing that?
No, not his tweet. I think any lack of passing a stimulus bill backfires on the Democrats, regardless of what Trump says.
Well, I do agree that it did seem to me that was the road we were on. Like, wow, Pelosi is just not cooperating with them. So, you know, she wants whatever, $4 trillion. They want $1.2 trillion or whatever the fucking thing was. You know, it didn't look good. But now, hasn't he kind of flipped all that and put her in the, given her all the chips in this negotiation for this stimulus package?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I read something about, I think there was a request to be carved out specifically for the airlines. And I think that was another holdup. So I don't know. I haven't read, to be honest with you. I'm not totally up to speed on what's in this
package. That was like Wednesday morning. That was Mnuchin.
Yeah.
By the way, I got to tell you, I was watching Superman versus Batman, and the one with Gal Gadot in it, Wonder Woman, that movie. And as the credits were going across, there it is, Mnuchin. He was the executive producer on that movie.
There you go. That's how he's getting rich.
That is who has the fate of our fucking economy in the palm of his hand. The fucking executive producer for a Batman movie.
Is it really the Steve Mnuchin?
Where do you think he came from? How do you think Trump pulled him out of movie studio obscurity and made him what is his?
He's taking the evils of the Marvel universe.
Well, it would be DC. Sorry.
Oh, sorry. Let's not get those mixed up.
Yeah. Wow. What? Come on. All right. So anyway,
You asked me a question. Should there be more debates? I don't know. I don't think it's necessary. Personally, I don't think it's necessary. I'd love to watch it. I think it'd be a train wreck. I think if there's one thing I would say that I've seen a difference in Trump in these last 4 years is he, if you can believe it, seems more entitled. That's probably the biggest thing I would say. As far as his debate performance, you know, yes, he was a bully. Yes, he was talking all over the place. And I think it comes from a place where he is so entitled as being the incumbent president and the guy who thinks he's obviously going to have another 4 years. That's how I took it. But again, it didn't surprise me. So, you know, would I love to see Biden have an opportunity to put his foot in his mouth, as you say? I think there's plenty of examples of that. I don't think another debate, short of him collapsing on stage, I don't think we need any more of him either.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, sometimes I do. I mean, it would be more complicated if this was not a podcast, but some kind of television show where I could be putting up a close up of him gasping for fucking air up on the balcony
and hooked up to the oxygen machine.
Yeah, but I think everybody has already got that in their mind. So
have you had enough for today?
Yeah, I think, I think that we've covered a lot of this stuff. And so
I take my opportunity as I've calmed you down to time my exit.
Okay, that's good because I'm not so angry and pissed off. So, all right. Well, hey, everybody. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. Travis.
And I will do my best to get your blood boiling on the next one.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, everybody.
All right. Out. Bye.